Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reed. Hey, everybody. Good evening. It is Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. And hey, our special guest tonight, who just asked me if I was wearing leather in a private conversation.
Wait, where the hell was I?
You were not in the room, so later on I'll show you where. Danny Robers touched me.
Hello.
Damn it, Danny. I'm telling you. Keep your hands off of him.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Hear you fine.
All right, good.
Yeah, this, you know, tonight was one of those days where Blog Talk wanted to be a little bitch.
All right. It's no problem.
But, you know, it's been a long time since we all got together and chatted.
It has been.
Yeah, was that like last, when was that? Was Rob on too? Rob Demarest?
Yeah, Rob was on too, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this, but you know that whole show, while I was interviewed, while we were talking, right? And I remember it was really funny. We were joking around a lot and everything. While that was all happening, I had y'all in my headset, and I was with my friends, and we went to Bojangles Chicken, and we stood there in line. And we ordered our chicken, big giant family thing, and we left and we got back in the truck and we drove back home and took chicken out and I ate chicken.
The whole time you were
while we were talking, the whole time. I don't think I ever gave it away at all for a second. I don't think anybody noticed.
At one point in time, you did say you were in a drive-thru, you were at the restaurant ordering chicken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think, but other than that, I think I was very quiet about it.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Much quieter than I usually am. Unfortunately,
right.
I always crave chips and crap when I'm craving munchies in the evening. It's like something loud. Whenever we're on the show, I crave chips or something crunchy.
I don't know why.
And then I say, oh my God, I can hear it. Can anyone else?
Yeah. But it's been probably about a year.
Yeah,
and
a little more than
a year. You're a very private person, and you know it's always a pleasure when you know, and an honor when you reach out and say, hey, you know, I got your message, and you're like, hey, I was talking about you on Joe's show the other night.
We
need to do something.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I respect your work, always have, and your new collaboration with Dave Miller is pretty amazing.
Where is Dave Miller?
Where is Dave? I don't know.
He said he's at work. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's at
work. Is he coming on here?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. All right.
I see there is a special Danny, Dave, and Bill group, though. Danny created it, but there's no... Yeah. I can't wait to see the picture that gets associated with this group. But, it sucks when people have jobs we have to work, we have to pay the bills, and Dave's an awesome guy, and, you know, he's been putting out some incredible apps, and when Dave and I first started talking, you know, I was very cautious because, you know, I am very picky about phone apps, period.
Right.
And I've always been and Chris and, you know, our team has always been a fan of your work. And, you know, because it's not bullshit. And, you know, so when talking to Dave, he's like, well, you know, I was kind of mentored by Danny. And I'm like, okay, I'll talk to you now.
Right. Now, Dave's got the right idea. I consider Dave Miller to be a good personal friend. Like him and I, like we talk. He's got my phone number. I got his phone number. and we talk, I'd say we talk pretty often, and it's kind of like, I don't have a lot of, like, I respect where he's coming from, and he does everything to, from the best that I can tell, he does everything with the best intentions. He doesn't mean anybody any harm. He ain't trying to pull anything over on anybody. He's just having fun with it. And that's something that I can really get behind, because he's doing a lot of stuff that I just can't play. I just can't do it anymore. And it's good to see him, you know, I live vicariously through him. So, you know, Dave's all right. And I don't even have, through Dave, I've kind of learned to kind of loosen up a little bit about other people and people that have, I've had a lot of people come out of the woodwork and apologize to me for, you know, maybe, you know, in their mind, maybe doing me wrong or something like that. Because, you know, I had a very, like a public breakup, you know, and that's never nice. And I had people, you know, have come back, and there are people in the field that, you know, I think that their hearts are in the right place too. So I think it's our, like the way me and Dave work together, and Dave works with other people and I work with other people, it all seems okay to me. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of like animosity or anybody's got any ill intentions. It's like everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And when they can work together and come up with something cool, then they do. And I think that's okay. It's pretty cool.
I think it's great, and it's the way it should be, absolutely. And you know, I mean, you were forced into becoming almost a recluse, kind of eccentric. I kind of like having you as my eccentric friend. And you know, where you go off the grid, and you don't hear from you forever, and then all of a sudden I'll hear from you, and then I'll get like 6 months nothing, and then hey, I was just talking about you. You know, so
right,
you know, it's
right.
Cool. And you know,
it's
and that,
because
and
I live a very tumultuous existence, and I've worked very hard at calming it down to where it's not any crazier than it needs to be, and that hasn't been easy, because all this, whatever the path that all this led me down, ended up being a very self-destructive path, and it wasn't good for me, you know. And so now I have to live in a very more much more simple way, and that whole part of me is closed off. It's almost like a double life. So I very rarely I even talk about the stuff or anything. I definitely don't run any ITC any longer at all, and it's healthier for me that way. And I figure that if I turned on, you know, however many people, say close to 1 million people at this point, to ITC, then it's not a big deal if I'm not sitting there doing it all the time.
No, it's not.
I can take a break.
And that's one of the reasons why I respect you so much. It's like you had this traumatic experience, and we're not going to go into it, and you know, a few years back, and it kind of totally changed the way you looked at things, the way people.
To be clear, if I can pause you for a second, it wasn't one traumatic thing. It was a snowball of unbelievably traumatic things that anybody that's known me for years is like, oh yeah, you're right. So yes, go on.
Yes, no, I know it was a snowball effect, and one thing led to another, and you know,
absolutely,
you became for a big time very angry. And
right.
And then, you know, and lashed out, and then you kind of like chilled and kind of came back, and you know, you're doing what you're doing, and you know, I've always, you know, your work was cutting edge, absolutely.
Right.
And the new collaboration you did with ITC Legion with Dave, with the revamp of the Echo Box is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, people seem to like it, you know, and that's like pretty much Dave's doing. I mean, I didn't even, I came up with the name, and he would throw features at me or whatever, however he wanted to do. And we just came up with, you know, he came up with the idea of using the sounds the way that we did and stuff. And I just basically said, hey, do whatever you want, man. You know, like I trust you, just do whatever you want. And it was the same way when I did his, version of Echo Box, which is the 51, and at first he didn't like it because it's very noisy. It's a really crazy, but I was trying to do something like that that didn't have a lot of clear talking in it, and he took it out though just recently and used it, and he said he was getting crazy replies with it because I told him back then, because he always says to me, he's like, you know, you're always right. It's always like I got to come to you and be like, yeah, you told me so. You know?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, because I went through it, and it's weird because when all this started, I always knew that almost everything that has happened not everything that's happened, but a lot of things that have happened, I knew they were going to happen before they happened. So, like, I always knew that at some point somebody was going to steal my code, change a couple of pictures and the sounds, and try to put it back up and sell it or give it away. I always knew that was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. I always knew that my app was going to be pirated and used, you know, far more illegally than people that pay for it, you know. And these are things that I always knew. I always knew that somebody else would come along and make really cool apps. And you know what I mean? I've always known that. And somebody would have to fill my shoes eventually when I don't want to do it anymore. And, you know, just not to have not to be blowing Dave Miller the whole show or anything like that, but it's like one of the reasons I respect him, though, is that he, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's putting the stuff out, he's doing the best that he can, and it's like, you know, I don't think he's not worried about the money or whatever, and I just respect that because he looks at me and goes, well, I wouldn't be doing any of this if you hadn't done it, and he gets that, and that's one of the reasons I used to be pretty mad in a lot of ways, because in the paranormal field, people would always want to be attacking me, for this and that, but at the same time they turn around and be like, but use so-and-so stuff instead. And it's like, you might not like my personal politics or whatever, but you want to use somebody else's thing out of spite, and it just doesn't make any sense to turn yourself, you know what I mean? Like, who cares? Like, we still drive around in Volkswagens, but the origins of Volkswagens and things Volkswagens were used for, like Nazi death camps, but we still drive Volkswagens because they're good cars. So even if I was a mass murderer and I went out and just leveled the city, people could still use Echovox. I'm sure a lot of people would be like, oh, it'd be even cooler that way. You know?
Well, I'm sure Dave, you know, not to, as you put it, blow Dave Miller, Dave would create an app based on your mass murder capabilities, and it'd be pretty.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Yeah, he would. He would. The screams of the people.
and probably your radio interviews would be some of the backdrop, but and
right,
that's
right.
Some of the cool stuff. That, you know, it's the thinking out of the box, which makes today's ITC so different, and you know he. You know, even Dave, and he's not here to chat with us right now because he's work, and you know, has gone through similar, you know, experiences, you know, of people, you know, of the hate in the paranormal field, as you know, we all have.
Well, and I told him all that. That's why he says I'm his mentor, because I'm the one that, I don't remember how it started, but he reached out to me or whatever, and we started talking, and I told him everything. I said, give me your phone number, so I called him. And I probably talked to him for 3 hours, and I downloaded everything on him. I told him everything that's going to happen. This is going to happen. This person, people are going to turn on you. This is the type of person that's going to turn on you. This is why they're going to turn on you. This is how long it's going to take for them to turn on you. This is what they're going to do when they turn on you. This is how people are going to look at you when this happens and they turn on you. And every single one of those things has happened. All of them. Every single thing.
So you're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with ITC creator and prophet, Danny Roberts. No, but you're 100% right. I mean,
they're predictable.
Yes. The paranormal.
The paranormal.
Pariasis.
My panties are in a wad because you said something I didn't like. And
yeah, you're right.
Paradrama is just so predictable, and it's getting old.
Well, you know, the thing is, you need to tell people that more. Remind people that, because
yep.
people are insidious to the point of like, I am no longer a part. Like, anybody that's listening, God bless you. I love you. Glad you're here and listening. But I don't want any part of what you guys are doing except for to give you the tools, because the scene is so insidious. People will go so far to just get into your life, and they will affect your personal life. When you're in a position of quote-unquote power, which I don't mean it like power, but like fame or whatever it is, and when your word means something, the trolls in this field are just not worth the bother, but it makes the field not worth bothering with at the same time, because it's just, you know, but I've been telling people, you know, you do it for yourself anyway. It's not about, I know you guys get out and you have a lot of fun with it, and I'm always a little jealous when I see you doing your events. You look like you're having a lot of fun, and people need to do that more and focus on, you know, their stuff, you know.
You know, and that's one of the things that, you know, we've been trying to do, you know, Chris and I, through this show, and, you know, when we started it over a year ago, that it was to bring people together, and that you may not agree on personal ethics or whatever, but, you know, you can listen to new ideas, new concepts, and learn from everyone, and everyone should just get along. And, you know, you may not like each other personally, but, you know, you respect each other. And I hate to use the word professionally. I mean, we should go out and act like professionals when we're in the field, you know, but, you know, people don't always do that. But you need to get off your high horse and kind of look at other aspects of things. And, you know, people had busted our balls for, you know, oh, ITC phone apps are bullshit and blah, 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 and, you know, this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, but we get great results.
We get great results.
Right. And
use everything available to you.
Exactly. Use all of your equipment and validate everything. And if you're getting the validation, how could you say that this piece of equipment is crap? Like when Chris and I just came back from Vermont. And we stopped at, you know, Ted Bundy's birthplace,
right,
which is now an office building, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the birthplace. And we took out Vexbox,
which is Ted Bundy's voice.
Which has
backwards.
Bundy's voice bank in it, and played it.
Yeah.
Okay. Which we all know Dave's stuff is backwards. And, you know, I said, what's your mother's name? At one point, and it's live and it's on Facebook. Go check it out. And it said Eleanor. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and did you like your mother? And there was some swearing and stuff like that. And, you know, but you had that brief contact, and, you know, when you have, you know, using a piece of equipment that, you know, doesn't work in the way that you're using it to be, and get that response, it's kind of interesting. And,
right.
You know, we've gone out to, you know, we have a tablet that we only use for ITC. There's no emails attached to it. There's nothing, no Facebook,
nothing.
So you can't say, oh, it's pulling out your bank, or it's pulling off of Facebook, or it's drawn from here or there. You know, we try to do things, you know, in a scientific manner that, you know, we're trying to control our test, because everything we do is a test. And you know, and try to get results and validation, and, you know what, and have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's what I mean. A lot of people forget about the fun, and they get wrapped up in the politics or whatever. But a lot of it is too, because if you listen to, there's spokespeople, and there doesn't need to be any spokespeople, and there's salesmen, and there doesn't need to be any salesmen. So, I mean, if something, I don't need to be out there shoving Equivox down people's throats because they, everybody, you know, they like it. Enough people have used it where they say, hey, well, you should just try this. And that's how it goes. So, but, and then any day now, I'm going to drop a new version of it. And that's the big deal right now that I'm excited about is putting this out because it's based on Phantom Box. And I don't know if you guys have ever used Phantom Box, but I put that app out a couple of years ago, and I was working with Andy Openlander at the time. And it's a great, really amazing app. And so I built off of that, and it's basically a hybrid between Phantom Box, the PV1. It's a cross between that and Equivox. And it's going to be pretty cool because it takes out the computer from the equation as far as, I mean, I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it can, or it's going to change the way something has to choose what it does to respond because you're going to use touch to blend and play the sounds. So, and it actually makes more, it makes a layer of sounds, and it's all built on bank A, and you get two banks in it. You get bank A and bank B, just like an Equivox Classic, the same bank. But you're going to blend them different, and you don't do anything with the playback speed or anything like that. It all has to do with you actually subconsciously or consciously or whatever, like using your finger on the screen to play the sound.
So it becomes interactive.
Yeah, it's totally interactive. So that way you know, and I don't know if that's like a form, like bringing some divination into it is kind of the way that I look at it. Because you have to physically touch it and physically interact with it. You don't just hold it in your hand. And so that's about to come out. It's called Equivox Touch.
Okay, so like the difference, if for those people who've used PV1, you know, it was basically set reverb, set your, if I remember correctly, we do have it. We do use it occasionally. That was, you know, start your reverb, start, you know, and it played back.
Yeah, it doesn't have any echo. It's a pretty simple app.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool that you're expanding on something that worked well and now kind of you're right. It is like divination. It's like almost like a Ouija board.
So the replies in PV1, the replies in PV1 are crazy. Like there's some great, I've heard some, and I've gotten some amazing replies through that app. So I just know that using bank A and bank B of Equivox, it's going to be great.
That's awesome.
Already in the testing, it's pretty cool. So
cool. All right, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Our guest tonight is Danny Robridge. From Equivox. He has a new piece coming out that we're going to talk a little bit more when we get back on. He just did a collaboration of Equivox, kind of a hybrid with ITC Legion and Dave Miller. We'll be right back after this short break. We'll be right back.
high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Paranormal Collaboration with your hosts, Phil and Chris Reed. Our guest tonight is Danny Robridge, the creator of Echo Vox and good friend. And we're really having a good time talking to him. And we're talking about his work with Dave Miller and an app they've been working on. It comes with a special no-no doll.
You know, it's kind of funny. I think I'm going to have to call Rob Demarest. And like this new Echo Vox thing, I think Danny's going to owe Robin and us royalties. We're using the touch.
Right?
Yeah, right?
No,
where did Danny touch you with the doll?
Right here. And it answers like in a robot voice. It's like right here. And here.
No, but that, you know, that's pretty awesome, you know, that you're coming out with an app that is really interactive.
It's called Echo.
Well, I did that. I already did that. The other one is pretty interactive. So it's built on the PV1. I mean, that function's almost identical. You know, you get one finger and you move your finger in an area on the screen, however you want. I used to do like, I do a pattern, you know, do like a figure eight. And you get it, and it's cool because you can get in a little trance. Yeah, you get in a little trance. You do whatever feels right and whatever feels nice, and you set your own pace. And if you need it to go a little faster, you go a little faster, and et cetera, et cetera.
Whatever feels right. Go a little faster. Yes.
Nope, slow
when
down.
When you start saying, oh, God, baby, you know, you've done your
job
right.
You need to slow down a little.
There's a bean at the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mind is racing so many places
this
to
is,
go with that.
You know, it's always fun having, you know, guests like Danny on and, you know, and Dave, because you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. Or what's going to be said, and I love it.
Yeah, you don't. Unfortunately, I'm off tonight. I'm off. I had to go to the doctor today, and I had to get muscle relaxers because I did something to myself 3 days ago, and I've had this insane headache, neck thing going on for days. It's been crazy. So I was finally convinced today by my better half to go to the doctor. And so, of course, the doctor gave me some Flexeril. So now I'm a little slow, and you know, I really needed that. I really, like, they put a shot in me today in my ass cheek, and it was, and I'll tell you a story. This is what happened. She said, okay. She came back in the room because this is all right. Here, I'm gonna lay it on you. I went to this ER. It's not really ER. It's like a freestanding. It's not in a hospital. It's just like a freestanding emergency room that's part of the hospital, but it's nowhere near
urgent care.
And no, it's not quite. It's literally an emergency room, like a real emergency room. It's just not attached to a hospital. And the, you know, the ambulances go there and the whole nine yards. And I go there. There's nobody there. Nobody. I do the little thing. You know, you scan your ID and the thing, and you type in while you're there. And I sit down. And as soon as I sit down, they call me in. I get my bracelet. I go back. Before the nurse guy can even stop with my vitals, the doctor's already in there. So I'm thinking, like, wow, this is amazing. Because there's nobody in there. Literally nobody. It's a ghost town. This is in Jacksonville, Florida, where people get shot and hit over the head with things and car accidents and everything every 5 seconds, okay? So then I see the doctor. It's a very good doctor. I think we figure out what's going on. He says, all right, I'm gonna go out and get you some medications. And I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. I hurt. I can't wait to not hurt so much. This didn't take all day. This is amazing. So about an hour later, the nurse comes back in the room. Oh, sorry about the wait. And I'm just thinking, like, I could have had an aneurysm by now, but that's okay. So she had some anti-inflammatory medication, and she said, I'm going to give you a shot of, I don't even know what it was. It's not like a narcotic or anything like that. It was like a anti-inflammatory or something serious, you know, serious. And I didn't care what she did. I just didn't want to have this pain. And she said, I have to give you this shot in your hip. And I know that your hip means your butt, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't like shots. When I was a little kid, it took four nurses and the doctor and my mother and my father to hold me down to give me a shot. Even though I have tattoos all over my body, I'm covered in tattoos. When I was a kid, I did. I would bite and kick and scream so loud that I really made a scene. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I remember specifically being a little kid. But anyway, I wanted to, but I knew I couldn't. I had to be a big boy. So I put my wallet between my teeth. And so
I'm just picturing, I said, you know, Danny bare-assed with a wallet in his teeth right now.
I really did. Laying on my side, and I had the wallet. I really had it, like, in my hand so I could still talk, but I was ready. As soon as that bitch hit me with that needle, I'm going to bite down. Okay? So, but I say to her, she pulls down the shorts a little bit there just to get to where you stick a needle. And I said, lady, I don't have any meat back there. Cause she said something about, we give it to you in your buttock because you got more or in your hip because you get more muscle there. And I was like, not me. I honestly don't have a butt at all. I have an indentation underneath my back. It's true. I don't have ass cheeks. It's the anti bubble butt. It's the opposite. It's a popped bubble butt.
It's the concurred butt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a 1984 skateboard deck. It's just like all concave. So my ass hurts right now just telling the story to the pain. Like, it's real. So I was serious. I was like, I would rather have this shot in my arm if that's something that y'all do, because I've been there. I literally don't have any fat. My fat goes to my stomach, and that's where it goes. It does not go there. And you know those people, you ever see those people that are really, really big and fat, and it's all belly, and they just haven't, there's no back at all. You see them at the Walmart. That's me. Yeah, that's me, but I'm not, like, obese, but, I mean, that's me. That's, everything's in the front. And so she hits me with that needle, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, that hurt. She's like, it's pinching a burn, and I knew, and it was horrible. It was horrific. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And
there are no teeth impressions in his wallet.
Yeah, so I was bit my wallet. It tastes good. It's Puerto Rican leather. Tastes great.
Oh, nice.
it burned, right? It burned. So then if we finished and it felt better or whatever. And so the more where I'm going with that whole story is they gave me a few Flexerols to take and a handful of I was very impressed that they didn't give me opiates, because I didn't want a painkiller. I can't take anything like that. It makes me so itchy. I just want to kill myself. I really can't stand it. You know, like a Percocet or Lortabs or whatever, or any of that stuff they give you, you know, at the dentist or anything like that. Oh man. So I was kind of impressed, because, you know, obviously they have a big thing with that being in Florida and everything else. There's a new law, actually. I was just reading about it, where they say that doctors can't prescribe more than 3 days worth of a painkiller to people anymore, that's probably a pretty good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, but yeah, so they treated me good, except for having to wait that hour. I was just thinking to myself, what the hell were you all doing for an hour? Unless they had to order some from a pharmacy, that's all I could think of. But I mean, literally, with even more than an hour, I'm sitting there watching daytime soap, and the pain was so bad. I mean, the pain was so bad, because I had headaches for like 3 years, and so I don't play around with that, you know, But anyway, yeah, that was my day. So I'm a little bit out of it because of that. Definitely a little bit out of it. I came home and had a flex drill and did some bong hits, and here we are.
And here we are. You know, and that's, you know, talking about the opiates, that's something Pennsylvania is now doing, and that's where we're at now. And they're, you know, they did get rid of the opiates, and, you know, doctors are starting to prescribe weed. Medical marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, everything has its place. I mean, it's obviously, there's people that are dying and really, really hurting that, you know, even cannabis is, you need the cannabis, but they're going to need an opiate. You know,
right.
Like if you're going to chop off my leg, you better give me some morphine, whether I'm itchy or not, you know.
Exactly. But we do have your new app coming out. Echovox Touch, and it's on Spotify.com, right?
No, it's Selfie.
Or Selfie. Right,
Selfie, I guess you'd call it. Yeah, but it's that. What that is it's not out right now. There's been a pre-order up for it for, how long has that been up? For about 8 days. And it's, I'm trying to open your message right here. It is, excuse me, basically, I put the pre-order up because here I think it's $9. Yeah, $9.99, so it's $10. It'll probably be between 10 and 18 when I launch it, with the exception of sales here and there. So if you want to order it now before it releases, you get it a day or a couple days before everybody else does through an email. Before it's launched, so you'd be the first people to get it, and you can get it at the sale price for $10. And I decided to do that with new apps for various reasons, and it also helps with my bottom line with launching a new app, because I don't charge for updates, but I have to pay to have them the way I need to have them done, you know. And especially this, the Echovox Touch, the way it is now, PV1 didn't have the Echo in it. So now I have to have the Echo implemented and everything. So, and I figure that, I know for me, when I really like something, I like getting a little bit early. It's kind of fun. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe people that pre-ordered it or whatever, they'll like it, you know, and they'll tell people. So that way when I launch, I have a more positive launch. It's just, I've never really done it before, but I think it's a good idea, because that way when I put the app out, maybe it has a little momentum already, you know. So if somebody wants to order it, I don't know if you can see the address for the.
I did, and I just shared it on the Paranormal Collaboration radio page. And,
okay, cool.
So if you're, you know, you're listening now on Blog Talk or on iTunes, TuneIn or iHeartRadio. Yes. Danny, you know,
yeah,
that
you
we're on iHeartRadio now.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now everybody on iHeartRadio knows
tomorrow,
about your button.
Yeah, very good. Hello, iHeartRadio. Just let them know that if they order today, if you do order today, it could be out as soon as tomorrow. It's like I was messing with it today, and it was a feature that I want to put in it, but it's going to have to come in an update because it's just too much. But and this is for Android only too, by the way.
So what prompted you to take the PV1 and upgrade it to the Touch?
Well, PV1 is like, I, like I said before, I don't do this anymore.
Right.
Really like use my stuff, and I for a long time I didn't even have any apps on my phone, but every once in a while, if I needed to, I would have PV1 on there. There has been an occasion where I, you know, maybe was a little out there and I wanted to try to get some kind of advice or something. And I think I even turned to something like that and in order to know something or whatever. I don't even know. But I would always go to it because the way that, like, there's two, the way every app came about to me is like magical. Like, it was like, it didn't have anything to do with my free will, almost. It was like the first app, SV1, I only made it because, you know, I got hurt and I couldn't work, and I was just laying in bed watching TV, and I watched Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters or something, and they were using a ghost box, and I said, ah, that looks cool, I want to do that. And I picked up my phone and I figured, well, maybe there's an app that does it. There's got to be. And there wasn't. So that, you know, so I just made it, whatever, and then I sold that. And then it was like, you know, through getting involved in how people were doing ITC more and more, I thought the real-time recorder was really cool. So I made an app called Spirophone that was like a real-time recorder, and you could buy it for $2, you know, instead of 150 or 200, whatever RTE VP was. And then this is, you know, 6 years ago. And then use the SV1 with the Echovox, or no, Spirophone. There's this whole progression. But my point is that the PV1, to answer your question, went through this very profound progression where my life had to basically fall apart, and I ended up 1,000 miles away from home in Chicago with Andy Openlander, in a spare room at his house in the middle of the winter in Chicago. And and we would just ITC, and we were in his shop and in his basement, and we were talking, we were thinking. It was actually a really amazing experience to do what we did, and a lot of amazing things happened. And we built a board called the Whisper Board, and I was down in that basement every day for weeks working on that thing. And Andy and I, we made something called the Whisper Box. And these had to do with the Tesla coil radio and brass rods and like a static charge and open air microphone, like a real echo. And the noise that comes out of these boards and these whisper boxes is a really amazing ghost box sound. And Andy and I, we touched that thing, and it said something so clear to us. and we couldn't believe it, and it blew our minds in that moment. And I said, geez, you know, this has got to be something, the touching, because we were touching. You know, you have to touch those whisper boards, and that's what how they're different. There's no sweep circuit. You sweep it yourself using your fingers by running them across metal, and they make amazing sounds. So I said, I want to do that with the PV-1. So I made it into the PV-1, and then I went away in Andy's house up to his very spooky haunted attic, and I used that thing up there, and I used it down in my room, and I used it at somebody else's house, and this place and that place, and I used it with headphones on here, and the replies I used to get out of it made me think that that app alone was going to revolutionize ITC. But it never caught on for whatever reason. It never really caught on. It's not got a lot of downloads. I don't know what the, I don't know if I didn't do my part by promoting it enough or what, I don't know, but it sits there. And I really like the concept, and I had a similar idea for something else with EchoBot, and I decided to put them together. And this is one of two new EchoBot-type things that are going to be coming out. There's another one that I'm hoping to have out within the next maybe 6 months that's really different and kind of complicated, and I'm hoping to get done. But this touch, you know, to answer your question, that PV-1 was just magic, man. I mean, the responses that come out of it, there's just no way that you're even hearing things that aren't real, because the noise is just basically static that kind of swirls to explain it, you know. That was a crazy answer, huh? Long answer.
And I expect nothing less from
good.
You. Even good. Even perfect. If you are a little slow from your shot in your buttocks.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't feel good. But yeah, so that's it. I mean, it was pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's just a different, there's nothing else like it. And I never understood quite why it wasn't out there the way it was. But you know what? Then there was a reason for that. So, but I got a good feeling about this. So, I mean, it's a new idea. It's an old idea put together, and we'll see what happens.
I think everything has its time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I cannot believe that you didn't see this coming.
Right.
But I like the combining of the old with the new.
Exactly. And, I mean, PV-1 was cool. I mean, we've used it, a few times and got great results from it. And, you know, so this is interesting. I'm, you know, going to ask permission to, you know, break out the credit card and purchase mine tonight.
Oh, right on. It's going to be coming out. The cool thing is, too, is that, you know, it's based on, first of all, it's based on EchoBox Classic. So it's got a real simple Echo,
which I love, EchoBox Classic.
Yeah. And it's just got Bank A and it's got Bank B in it. And I think that's the magic. That's the important part. And the way the banks are going to run, I think it's going to change I don't know. I think I'd like it if we can get more sentences. If I see people being able to pull longer, more sentences and more information out of it, which is I think the goal. So, you know.
And you know, you just keep. I'm glad that you're kind of still in the developmental stages. You know, who cares if you're not involved in this crazy ass paranormal playpen. You know, where the minute that anyone thinks that, ooh, you're different, yellow, Nuprin, we're going to attack you now.
Right.
I have to say the banks, an A and B bank, I like that. And the original EchoBox have four banks. One?
Two.
Two.
A, B, classic.
And then I've got the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Which had
six,
I believe it
four.
Was, is
four.
Four banks.
Four?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, four banks.
Huh. Yeah. That's one that was more.
ABC.
But I like less banks.
EFG.
Having more banks just melts my mind as I'm sitting there trying to figure it out. I like simpler.
Yeah, that's I think that's the whole idea, is that, I mean, Bank A was what it was. It was the first thing that I made. It was the first way that I could figure out how to have chopped up voices. And it worked really good. And then, and Bank B is actually kind of a mutated version of Bank A, through being run at, run from being run through EchoVox. And then Bank C is a real, like, crazy static experiment that I was running back in the day, and I still stand by it. You can get full sentences out of Bank C. You just need to run it really fast, and you need to learn how to use EQ and slow it down when you review and listen to different bands. It's really complicated bank. And then Bank D is actually the Hindi language. And part of the reason that that even exists is because of Rob D and Guarev, who is just the year anniversary of his two years, I think, since he took his own life there in India. He was a paranormal investigator in India. And that was their idea. They got a hold of me one day and said, hey, we're, you know, Rob's like, I'm in India and we're about to do this TV show and we want to, you know, we're going to be on the news live to 200 million people or whatever. And we need a sound. So I made them like a little app, you know, with EchoVox Hindi version, which I should put that out someday. You know, I should put that out as a standalone just for the fun of it. Yeah, just for the fun of it. It's pretty cool. But, you know, unfortunately, he took his own life, which is really sad. And but it's pretty cool. That's part of the history of Bank D. So, you know, I think about sometimes how many people are dead that have bought and used EchoVox over the years. You know, like, I know the Constantinos used it. You know?
Oh, let's see. They have something in common.
Yeah.
What's that common thread?
Right?
Danny. Danny is a mass murderer.
I
guess so. There you go.
You know what?
But you got to figure, if you do the numbers,
you'll get a million hits now because people are going to just want to buy it to see if they die.
Right. Oh, I got to try this. Oh, try it. It's the Death by EchoVox Challenge #. Put it on Instagram. Okay.
But, you know, in all the years of using Bank B, never knew it was Hindi.
No, Bank D?
D, yeah.
Yeah, Bank D is Hindi.
Never knew.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's a couple of poems. I think the poems are actually up on a SoundCloud somewhere. I might be able to find it. But he sent me, he's the one that picked out the source for the audio. There were just some, you know, royalty-free recordings of a lady and a man reading some poems in Hindi.
That's, you know, and that's what I love about the you know, let's put everything aside, you know, of the paranormal. The creativity that goes into the build is what really it amazes me. And I think it's that intent, that energy that you and Dave and, you know, a few others who use when they're creating kind of put that channel, that energy into these apps. And I think they really do. They just come to life.
Yeah, you end up being, you know, it's weird because, like, I'm gonna blow everybody's mind right now. Okay, are you the two of you sitting down?
I'm sitting.
We're sitting.
I'm getting a seatbelt.
All right,
I'm good.
Well, at church yesterday, the pastor was talking about how people judge other people, and that sometimes God will choose somebody to he'll work through you to get something done, right? I mean, everybody kind of gets that idea, right? So I think it's so the part of the sermon was talking about some lady in the Bible that was a prostitute, and she gets sent the spies in another direction or whatever, that were looking for Jesus or something, you know? And because I only half listen, and I like the music, but it, the thing is that, you know, the same way I think that whatever this is that we're talking to, and I'm not saying we're talking to God, okay? And I'm not saying we're not, but something guides that creative process to happen and work through you. You all right there?
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody's making some Jiffy Pop.
That's Clancy decided to take a walk across the hardwood floor in the studio.
He's our good boy. He doesn't move around a lot, but when he does, you know it.
That's what my dog sounds like running around the house. Okay,
you
so
think?
Sorry. I didn't mean to get off track. I just want to make sure you guys are okay. I want to make sure you, everything's
fine.
Okay. All right, perfect. So the same way that in people will say that, you know, God works in mysterious ways or whatever, God will work through you to whatever, make you decide to, give the homeless guy a sandwich and then he ate today, whatever it is. And so when I first started doing all this, I was very much open. Like, I didn't have a psychic wall up. I didn't know how to protect myself spiritually. Now, I can tell you this. I'm a spiritual commando. There's nobody on the planet that has more psychic blocking abilities than this guy right here. I turn it off like a switch, and nothing gets through to me. Nothing affects me. There's no such thing as anything that goes bump in the night. Nothing interferes with me or does anything spooky around me. I want nothing to do with it, and that's my wall, and that's it. I could go anywhere. You could take me to the most haunted place. Nothing's going to happen that's going to bother me. Nothing. And now, when I was starting, I didn't have that. I was wide open and ignorant. I had no idea. And I remember a night, and for your listeners, this is spooky. I had just got a Mel meter. I used to love my Mel meter. Regardless of what anybody thinks about it, I've had some interesting things happen. And one night I was sitting on my bed, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I had that Mel meter. I was sitting there playing with it. I didn't have Echovox on or anything, and it was totally silent in my room. I was just hanging out. And I think at the time I was, I called my now ex-wife on the phone, and we were talking. And I felt something. I felt like something coming at me, building. I don't know how to describe it, but it felt like there was a huge field of electricity very, very far from me, moving towards me kind of quickly, and I could just start to feel the static of it, and it was building and building as it got closer and closer. And my hairs on my body, they all stood up, and I got cold. And I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. And the whole time the Mel meter was climbing really fast, up to like crazy numbers like 68.8, just shooting up 123.7. And as it's building, the feeling is getting more and more intense to where the light in the room is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And it was like I could hear the electricity in my head. I could feel it. And it built, and it was there with me in that room. And then it just stayed. And it came to me. It came for me. It came, I don't know. I don't know what it was. But when that happens, I know that it happened, and I just happened to have this electronic device on in front of me that I wasn't really paying attention to when the sensation started, and that validated my sensation because it was unlike anything I've ever felt before. It was like swimming in lightning. And really? I don't know what that was. Yeah, I don't know what that was. And this was like, this is right at the birth of Echovox. Something was on to me. I don't know what that was. It was not negative. It was not negative. And then from that point on, I used to have a lamp. Excuse me. That dog.
Clancy, go lie down. Okay.
That I used to have a metal lamp next to my bed. And I had one of my son's soccer medals. You know those little medals they give him at school? It's like a little brass medal hanging on a red, white, and blue ribbon.
Yeah.
You know, so like they give them out to little kids. So I had his little soccer ribbon thing that he got. And it hung on this like metal Walmart, Target, you know, stand-up lamp. And every single night when I laid down after that, I slept in a pitch black room. That thing, the minute I was just about to doze off, you would hear ding. That metal would move. Now, there was no breeze in my room. The floor didn't move. It was a very sturdy house. It never made that noise any other time except for when I was just about to drift into unconsciousness. Every fucking night. So I don't know what that was, you know? Mind-blowing.
Well, it's a tone. And Echovox is based on what?
Oh, what do you mean? I mean, I don't know. For example, I know if somebody really wanted to, they could go way back on like my YouTube channel and they could look at old, or SoundCloud even, and they could listen to really old Echovox sessions and hear this progression of like the different things, the way they used to interact with me and come to me. And what's very common is that there's always this man's voice, and I've gotten him a million times on different devices, and every time he shows up, there's a woman. And sometimes they're at the same time and they overlap, or they're within an eighth of a second from each other, whatever, and they usually have the opposite response or a different type of response, each one of them, but they've always been around. So I always wonder if they're the ones that teleported over to where I was that night to hang around and make their movie or whatever the hell it is that they're doing in this higher dimension that these things are in. I don't know, but I mean, someday I'm going to put this all in a book if I can. I mean, it's going to be a big book. That's what's so daunting about it, because that was just the beginning of everything.
You know, like, I was going is, you know, you feel that you've been led to create these certain apps, do these certain things, bring them to life. You know, the tone could be something that resonates. Vibration is, you know, energy, whatever.
Oh,
that's where I was going. Right. And then you use.
Yeah, I see that. That's a neat idea.
And you use sound. You know, mm-hmm. Echovox is based on sound.
Right.
You know,
yep.
With that, you know, you tuning into the frequency, let's call it, to, you know, use
right.
for the creation of, you know, Big Beard.
I always felt like it was something being like, ding, like, hey, I'm right here.
No.
You can go to sleep. Because that first place that I lived in, you know, the first place that I lived in, when I did my first live broadcast back on YouNow, they're still up there. I think people can go back and watch. I think it's Spirit Vox on YouNow. They're 5-6 years old. That apartment that I lived in at that time was crazy haunted. It was crazy haunted before I got there, and I'm sure it was even worse after I left. I mean, that place was crazy. It was really spooky. They would just tug on you and pull your clothing and blow in your ear and touch you and move things and make glasses explode and throw saw tables. You know those contractor saw tables that they use, a table saw with legs that fold up.
Yeah.
Something in this house, something picked one of those up off of a workbench and threw it four, give or take 4 feet something away from the workbench.
Wow.
When only my roommate was home. And this guy was scared to death. He was an atheist when I moved in there that did not believe in life after death or ghost or anything. And after all these things happened to him, he used to be the guy that would go over my first Echovox sessions because he had a really good ear and he liked doing it because it blew his mind. And he was the perfect guy because he was skeptical. He didn't believe it could work. But then he'd walk into my room, he'd be editing the audio, and he'd come walking into my room and he'd be pale as a ghost. The guy was like 7 feet tall, big lug head. He'd be standing there pale as a ghost being like, you got to come hear this. And he'd play me something. It'd be like a whole sentence, one of the old Valley Street Cemetery sessions. I mean, I'm telling you guys right now, if you got the paranormal itch and you're looking for entertainment, go to my YouTube channel, which is Big Beard Audio, and just go way back in the videos. Go watch some of the old stuff, Valley Street Cemetery stuff, or my SoundCloud Spirit Box has the full tagged Echovox sessions that I'm talking about right now that my roommate back in the day tagged. And that stuff will blow your mind. I mean, it'll blow your mind.
You've created some really cool interactive, and they were interactive, like Spirit Trap was cool.
Right. Oh yeah.
And you know, those, the process, the thought that goes into these, and the cutting edge and the difference is what really sets you guys apart in what you're doing. And you know, in this instant gratification world that we live in, okay, everybody wants this, which is why, you know, so much of the paranormal equipment is bells and, you know, it's beep, 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 and flashing lights, and that's awesome. But it gives people that instant gratification. They're like, oh my God, look at that. It beeped. It lit up. Okay, what does it mean? I don't know. It means there's a spirit there. But why? Why would it be a spirit? You know, what could it be? Where people are now, I mean, 6 years ago, people were really into the audio. They kind of got away from it and wanted to go more into the, you know, the instant gratification. But I think people are really swinging back to ITC in a huge way. So, you know, the stuff that Dave is doing, the new product that you're coming out with, Echovox Touch, are bringing people back into that ITC thought process where it's like, you want instant gratification? Here, click. Here's, you know, we like to do weird, and we like to do weird shit when we're coming back from places and just to unwind. And Chris and Marcy and I went to Mr. Rogers' gravesite.
Yes.
Very good. Wow.
And
cool.
We wanted to go crazy, so we threw on Skelter Box.
Yeah.
At Mr. Rogers, you know, hey, Charles Manson, Mr. Rogers, all in the same.
Right.
And Chris was doing a session.
We got responses in his voice. And
really?
You know, one of the questions.
You know, like that tone and that inflection that he would use, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
cool.
His voice. Clear as a bell. And, you know, we asked if he had messages. Message for everyone, and it was just be happy and be good to each other, and asked, you know, how he felt about the rumor that he was an assassin in the military or a sharpshooter in the military, killed all these people and was covered with tattoos. That's why he wore the sweater. And in his voice, it hurts.
Oh, wow.
Because none of it's true.
It was really an interesting session.
He was a pastor.
Wow.
You know, did a little.
Yeah, he
know,
was
did,
a pastor.
Created,
yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He created, you know, his whole thing as a way to teach. And you know, the
right.
Coolest thing though is Speedy Delivery. What was his name, Mr. McFarley.
Yeah.
That's actually McFarley. His middle name. That's Fred Rogers' middle name is McFarley. Pretty cool.
Wow.
But anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, to use these products, you know, these apps, you know, to utilize these pieces of equipment to validate other things. That's the way people need to, you know, need to look at. And,
right.
you know, I really commend you, you know, for keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, it was a rough 6 years. And, you know, you pulled away from the paranormal, but you didn't stop helping the paranormal. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And, you know, it's amazing, you know, when we get to chat with you and the new stuff that's coming out, and when we get deep into the mind of Danny Roberge, and it's always interesting.
I guess.
Yeah, Danny's like, I'm going to listen to this tomorrow just to see what I said.
Yeah, no, I try to, I don't know, I just like, I figure every once in a while I need to poke my head out. So
yeah, you're like,
I started. Right. Yeah, pretty much. It really. That's the best. That's it. That's what I was going to say right there. I'm like Willy Wonka. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Go ahead, Mr. Roberge. I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
No, it's perfect. I mean, it's true. I mean, I started poking my head into the user group, my Echovox user group, a little bit, just because there's so many people that joined. It broke like 3,000 members, and so many people joined that have never heard from me. They never interacted with me. I've never said anything to them or liked one of their posts or anything, and it didn't seem fair to me, considering most of them have given me at least $20. You know, so. So I started interacting there a little bit, and I have two Facebook accounts, and I have one that's got like, you know, it's maxed out 5,000 people. I haven't used it in a year. I haven't even logged in. I don't even know if I remember how to log in. And I have my little account that I use so I can, you know, interact with people like yourself and, my user group. And I got like 100-something people on there. And those are generally people that I know, I've met, or I know pretty well, or I've talked to, or I've been on their show, something like that. That's all those people. So condensing out of 5,000 people, there's 100-something people that I wouldn't feel comfortable turning off Facebook, you know, because I'd lose those people. So I just started using it again a little bit to interact with people because, yeah, I went through some serious tribulation. It's still not done. It's up, but that's life. That's a journey. There's still trouble ahead, but it took a long time to just ground myself. So, like I said earlier in the show, I have to make my life very, very simple because I don't do well with stress and complication. I just don't. And especially ever since I got hurt a few years ago, it kind of messed with my personality a little bit. And, so it makes it easier for me to just only when I'm comfortable go out and when it gets stressful for me, the minute it's stressful, I pull back and I don't want anything to do with it. Like I was going to do a show with somebody that Dave knows or whatever, and I guess people were bitching that I, you know, some haters or something were bitching that I was going to be on, which I don't care. But the problem for me was that this person went on and addressed them and said, you know, something like, you know, screw you. I'm going to have on whoever I want to have on. There's nothing wrong with him and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, first of all, I don't really need anybody to stick out for me. And second of all, I couldn't go and do the show because I'm not going to just put myself out there and try to be comfortable with a bunch of people waiting on my every word for drama. And it used to be like that. It used to be like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't post a picture of my kid on Facebook without somebody coming out and being an ass. And that to me is very stressful. I can't do it. Part of the reason why I was in the emergency room today is because of my headache, partly because of stress makes me tense up, get a tension headache. So I can't have it. And the paranormal world or any field like that, when you get some notoriety, it can be very difficult. I'm sure it's difficult for recording artists and musicians and anybody that's in the public eye to any degree, or a writer or whatever. It can be really trying. So it's just easier for me. It's not like a personal thing. It's not like I don't care about people or like people or whatever. It's self-preservation tactic because I'm not a commodity. And that's, I kind of lost it for a couple of years. I kind of lost the fact that I'm not a commodity. I'm not a product. I'm a person. And I'm not Echo Box, and I'm not Big Beard Studios. I'm Danny. I'm my own entity, and I do the things that I like to do, and whatever. So and it took a long time to get that, because you can get lost, and that's one thing I tell Dave Miller all the time, and that's one thing I like about him, is that he makes sure to keep himself grounded, because it's easy to get lost. You know, you can look at somebody like Steve Huff, you know, and he's about as lost as you can get. He's the other side of the coin for me. He's like the opposite of what I am. And that's why so many people don't like that fucking guy. And mm-hmm. And it's important to recognize the fact that there's different degrees. And if you want to say zero is me and 10 is him, you know, people should try to stay. I would like to think closer to where I'm at.
Yeah, you need balance, you know?
Balance, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you make a great point. You know, no one can make you feel any particular way unless you allow them to do it and you allow yourself to, you know, absorb it. So
right.
You're your own person, you're your own entity, and you know, people really need to start looking at that, you know, and start truly understanding that whatever you do put out into this world does come back to you in some way.
People need to grow.
Absolutely.
And people just need to, you know, you know, I always say negativity and, you know, I'm a big vibration kind of person, you know, energy vibration, I say energy has different flavors. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like people's energy.
Right, yeah.
It's like you get into somebody and talking to them and it's like, ah, fuck, that's shit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And people need to understand that. And, you know, that negativity is a low vibration. So it's, you know, why aim, you know, you want to be easy and be negative. That's easy. You know, try to be a little bit more positive. Try to, you know, be open-minded. Try to bring balance. Try to be the balance. You know, I'm not saying anybody be the light or anything like that. I'm just saying try to be the balance. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's easy. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to be a shit stirrer. It's easy to be, you know, a keyboard bully, a warrior, you know. I mean, there was a couple of years ago, somebody, you know, didn't like me or whatever. I'm sure there's many now that don't, but we were in Gettysburg and somebody, and this person was like, approached me. And I was like, oh, that's really, well, didn't approach me. They thought I was somebody else. But then I was like,
right.
You know, got a problem with me. And let's step right outside the door here. And they're like, well, here I am.
Right.
But, you know, and it's easy for people to be in that, you know, to get into that negativity. And, you know, and I totally understand, you know, in talking with you and knowing a little bit about your story on why you did what you did. And it is kind of cool that you kind of popped your head back up like the Lake Champlain sea monster
right.
Or Willy Wonka.
Well, I've had death threats. I've been stalked. Both online and off. I've had all kinds of crazy things come out of it. But since I put my walls up and I let out what I'm comfortable, you know, because part of it is my fault. I mean, I let too much of my personal stuff out into the world, and that's my own mistake. And you know, I'm also guilty of you know, in the past lashing out and having anger, and I still do. I mean it's something I deal with. Every once in a while it bubbles to the surface. You know, I'll still get triggered about something, but I these days I'm a bit more mindful about it. And I don't know. I don't really care a whole lot enough about, you know, a lot of things in that world to get mad about it or whatever. And so it's like, I always feel like if somebody wants to, you know, they think they have some kind of impression about me or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Cause I just let the work speak for itself. So, I mean, the people that use my stuff, like yourself and thousands of other people, they're the ones whose integrity counts. I mean, it doesn't really matter what I have to say or anything like that. It's I make the car and you put it in the race. You know, you drive it in the race. But that's it. That's as far as I take it.
No, and that's a cool attitude and a cool analogy. I mean, you create it. It's how it's used is its ultimate test.
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. And you want to know something? It really doesn't depend on the user either. Well, to a degree, it does.
Right.
But, you know, energy goes to energy, you know? So, you know, it's really important in that whatever we put out, you know, affects when we do investigations as well, I feel.
Yeah. Right.
And, yeah, you know, these are tools, you know, just like anything else. And, you know, there are ways to create and validate. And you know what? I am not a coder. I am an analog guy in a digital world.
Right.
I respect, you know, what you all do. I couldn't go out and do it. And I wouldn't go out and say, oh, fuck him, he sucks, because, you know, hey, you know, whatever. I'm like, this is
right.
Somebody gave me a tool.
Right.
Somebody gave me a tool. You know, I could change and shape the paranormal with this tool, possibly. It's how I use it, what my intent is on how I'm going to use it.
Right.
And if I don't learn how to use that piece of equipment, it's not going to be effective.
Then bad on me.
Right.
You know, and so many people, you know, pick up pieces of equipment, whether it's an app or an actual, you know, something, you know, tangible that they're touching and carrying around in their Pelican case. How does it work? Do you know how it works? You know what's in it? Like, I didn't know Hindi was on Bank D. I mean, and we've used it for, I don't know, when did that come out? You know, 2 years ago?
Two or 3 years ago.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you know, how, you know, shame on me for never, in the times that we talked, for not asking you, hey, what's
on
this?
But that's also not shame on, that's not really shame on you, because that's like what I was saying earlier, is that I don't get out enough to speak for myself. So every once in a while I got to do a few shows like today, and I got to say a couple things, drop a little knowledge, and then
breadcrumbs
into the night again. Yeah, breadcrumbs. That'll work.
And it's awesome. So, you know, and that's what I like. We've been doing this for a long time. All of us have been in this field for a number of years, whether on the developmental side or out, you know, doing it. And you know what? You learn something new every day, and that's what it's about. And embrace that knowledge and embrace that new little piece of, you know, that little tidbit where you could go back and go, wow, now I have a better understanding of how this works. How can I take that new knowledge that I have
and put it to use?
Right.
Like my interest, what were the poems about?
Right.
You know?
Well, I could find that and I'll put it in my I'll put it in the user group or something, because it's or there might actually be a post in there or the sounds. I'll have to look into that.
You know, because it's interesting.
Yeah, I have
Dave created the Reap app for you know, Tina and Chris and Marcy wanted this children's app done. Dave created it for them, and it's really, really cool. People are like, wow, this is fucking amazing. And you know, and it was like nursery rhymes and ABCs and, you know, just talk kids chatter and all that stuff. And, you know, but people don't ask.
Right.
You know, so to know and have that working knowledge of what it is that gets in there. And it makes the tool much more better, because you could use it for a specific purpose, possibly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the whole mystical side of things, mysticism, spiritualism, all of that tied into the Hindu is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is the way I'm looking at it.
Well, and the story is just, you just can't even, the whole thing would make an epic book or movie or something. There's just so much to it. I mean, there's death and birth and it's really something. It's nothing to be taken lightly, that's for sure. Like, people think they're just grabbing an app that's like Angry Birds or something. It's like, no, there's definitely blood in that app, and there's definitely souls in that app, and dead people's energy is definitely in that app. And there's been good things that have come out of it and bad things that have come out of it. It's definitely something. It definitely has weight behind it in that department.
And that's the thing, you know, where people need to understand that, and people need to know that, you know, okay, it's not Angry Birds, and I love that freaking analogy, because people think they're just going to download this app, and it's mindless, and it's just going to do its own thing.
No.
And it's how you use it, you know, how are you going to use it?
Right.
And that's what, you know, it's really about. And you know, it's kind of different. Well, Danny, our time is almost up, and I know your buttocks is probably hurting.
Yeah, for real. What a day.
And
well, it was really fun.
No, it was
really
a lot
fun
of fun.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always a pleasure to have, you know, to have you surface, and you think of Chris and I, and you allow us to be one of your soapboxes for when you do rear your top hat and large glasses.
Well, I hope I did all right.
Oh, you always did awesome.
Good. All right.
You know,
good.
It's always fun to, you know, to have you on, and
I hope everybody liked it.
I'm
sure. And if they didn't, you know, hey, whatever.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't for them, but you know, I'm sure you touched a lot of different people. And before we let you go, and I know you're a very private person, so it's not like, hey, if you want to reach out to Danny, this is how to reach out
yep.
to him. But the big thing is, you know, I did post it in the chat, and I did post it on Paranormal Collaboration. If you want to go into a little bit about, you know, your special deal, the Echo Box Touch that's coming out, and then we'll wrap
yeah.
things up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically pre-sale, and so you pay $9.99. That's just a PayPal transaction or whatever, and you'll get the app before everybody else, a day or two before everybody else. It could be out as soon as tomorrow. It's just getting tweaked out right now. It's going to be any time now. If you get a discount, you get it early, and that'll be really fun. So, and you know, you get it before it launches officially, and so. And that's at the address that you put in the in your chat room, I guess. And then also, if anybody wants to participate, there's an Echovox users group on Facebook, and that's a great way to, if you want to talk to me, you can talk to me there. I don't really add people on Facebook very much, so if you want to talk to me, you can go through the Echovox users group.
Cool.
Well, I appreciate having you on the show with us tonight. You always make it fun. You always make it different.
Cool.
You know,
like
next week,
just
stay on the line when we hang up. You know, next week we have Stephen Hummel. Stephen Hummel is a paranormal historian, researcher, author, and artist. He is a really cool dude. He runs the paranormal museum in
the Archives of the Afterlife Paranormal Museum.
In West Virginia, it's really fucking cool. His death mask, Dillinger's death mask there, Danny, was pretty cool. They wouldn't let
wow.
me play on the and a Dr. Seuss book that was part of a mass murder.
Oh my God, so cool.
Blood splatter
oh,
and everything
wow.
on it. It's great. He's got some really cool
yeah.
stuff.
Great.
You know, and it's always fun when we go out there. He's very knowledgeable of the, you know, West Virginia State Penitentiary there, and you know, he's known for, you know, what he does in the Archives of the Afterlife, the National Museum of the Paranormal.
Right.
He's been on a bunch of different TV shows. He's a cool dude. Steve will be with us next week. We thank you for listening. You've been listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Our guest tonight was Danny Roberge. Get the new Echo Vox Touch. I just did.
Danny, thank you so much for being on the show. And,
Thanks, Chris.
We appreciate it. And it's always great talking to you. And I can't look. I look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No, you're awesome, Danny. Thank you for all you do and stay on the line. You've been listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Give it up on the media feed.